Does this mic stand up any higher?
That's how high as it go. Yo. 1, 2, 1, 2. What it do? It's your boy Skeeter Steve. And welcome to another episode of Lace Rounds, where we're giving it to you for the culture and by the culture. Woo! Yes, we're back in this motherfucker once again, though. But I mean, it feel good to be back, though, especially coming off a grand, super dope ass trip with the crew, you know, with Domino and my boy Queasy, you know, the podcast crew. Jay couldn't be with us, so because Jay went off to Texas to go see Bay with wife. I ain't mad at it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not mad at it, though, so.
Grown man shit.
Right. Grown man shit.
Beautiful, though.
Yeah, man.
Beautiful.
No, yeah, absolutely, man, though. But, I mean, feel good to come back. Man.
It does.
Yes.
I love the green, but, shit. I missed the desert, low-key.
Yeah, I did, too, man. Like, by Sunday came around, I'm all like, man, I'm ready to go home, bro. Well, you came Friday. I was like, damn. I'm like, nigga been there since Thursday.
Yeah.
Man, though, but good I day, mean, though. Yeah, man. It is always fucking good times in Atlanta, man. And, you know, shit, man. The word of the day down there was risking it for the biscuit.
That was dumb shit.
Oh, my God.
Risking it for the biscuit. But man, though, we definitely gonna get into that a little bit later, you know, throughout the show. You know, gonna give y'all a little cooler recap on Revolt World, though. But man, while we were going, it was a lot of things that went on. A lot of things, and looked like they were trying to bully my man's Eminem, and also too. OG Special Ed. Yeah, I'm not gonna say it right now, but once we get to that, oh, I definitely got some words about that, though. But all right, let's get into it. First and foremost, honorable mention. You already know what honorable mention is. You know, we always see people do great things for the culture, whether they're a celebrity or a regular-ass person, just like me and you, though. But this week of the honorable mention goes to none other than the white boy, the GOAT. Eminem continues to make history, super history. What I mean by history, as he becomes the 10th best-selling artist of all time. Eminem continued to rack up accolades as his decorated career enters the third decade, and he is now officially one of the 10 highest artists of all time. According to Chartmaster, Slim Shady has finally cracked the top 10 list after getting 207,262,000 total sales in his career, vaulting him above Led Zeppelin into the number 10 spot. The ranking combines of album sales, single sales, streaming data, and is always up daily. Eminem is the only rapper in the top 40, with Drake closest to competition at number 41, just over 120 million sales. Kanye West at 61, 98 million sales, and Pac, which is number 73 at 84 million sales. And there are only other hip-hop acts in the top 100. Wow. Y'all be liking to talk bad about this man, though, but I don't understand that. This man, like, he's literally a GOAT, and he made great music. Everybody in their catalog, and I'm going to just say this. Everybody in the artist, even artists that we like, they all have a album that's a slump or two that they don't like. It just happens. It really just happens. Like with all artists that we admire and we love, like T.I., like
Ludacris.
Yeah. Got slump albums. Everybody that we admire. And Jay-Z, and whoever don't think Jay-Z don't have a slump album in his catalog, boy, you're lying.
And no knock to anybody that has a slump album, but they have them.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of sends you off to a different artist, but then when they come back and they get to cooking, you're like, this is why I rock with this artist in the first place.
Exactly. And I mean, for me, I look at that as, man, like, you know, it's okay. Hell, Dr. Dre had a slump album. Hmm. I mean, as much as we love Chronic 2000 and 2001, we don't never ever bring up the Aftermath album that came out when he left Death Row. Because I love Dre, but that shit was trash, bro.
You know, and for me, it's like I see those type of albums, mm-hmm. and it's usually they trying some shit that's commercial. Mm-hmm. They stepping outside of themselves in a non, like, creative and organic way.
Right.
And they just put something out.
Right.
And then they come back, like you said, from the Aftermath to the Chronic 2001.
Yeah.
Chronic 2001 still has, like, samples that are in current rotation with current artists. Mm-hmm. And it's still a classic album.
Yeah.
You know, no. But that's Dre. Like, when you think of the Chronic 2001, it's the, like, a evolution of the first Chronic.
Yeah.
But that's it still fact. Is, like... Yo, yeah. Dre went from like N.W.A. to like Finding Game and Kendrick and you know M and 50 and all of that. You know what I'm saying?
So
he evolved his ear and became more Dre.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely though. But I'm gonna need for y'all to leave the white boy alone, man. The white boy, he already been invited to the barbecue numerous times. So y'all leave him alone.
At this point, he low key one of the cousins.
Pretty much, yeah. And the potato salad do be fire, too.
I don't know about all that. Hey, while we in here with the pod, you want to tell the people who's behind the camera and on the mic?
Yes. So the person that is behind the camera is none other than the photographer of the crew. And a videographer.
You saw my face, bro. About to say you got to expand.
I was expanding.
Okay, my bad. Go back to the intro, bro.
Let me cook for you. Let me cook.
Go ahead, cook.
All right. So the person who I got that's in the back with me, a part of the Lace Ron Squad, photographer, videographer, artist extraordinaire, and not to mention this man be building on cars too. I mean, he's literally the jack of all trades, man. So it's none other in the back, our boy Queezy the God. Man. Yes.
Appreciate you having me.
Happy
to help, man. I'm happy to help. You know, and that's kind of how these different little avenues pop up, because you get intrigued, and you got people like yourself that, you know, are into other things, and you just start cooking, like you just said.
Absolutely, man. Got me. Make me feel like we the motherfucking X-Men.
I gotta be Wolverine though.
No, that's fair. As long as you didn't say Gambit, we good. Cause that's me all day. Gambit.
See? But you know what? They click well together.
Yeah,
though,
they
when
do.
You think about it.
Yeah, they do. They straight. All I know, Jay or Dom, none of them niggas better not say Cyclops.
Oh my God.
Yeah, Cyclops. Yeah, we good. We cool. We straight. Y'all could be anybody else except Cyclops. That ain't happening. All right, let's get into it, man. Commentary for the culture, man. A lot has went down though before we get into anything else. So this is culture, and we happen to be at a huge cultural event this past weekend. Was none other than Revolt World. So Revolt World took place last weekend in Atlanta, 3 days, and the 3 days was just none but connecting, networking, discussion panels, you know, sharing ideas with one another, pushing the culture forward within, like, you know, how hip-hop changed fashion, the Fearless Fund, knowing about, you know, government-funded things that's for us and for our community, structuring music. Another good one is, you know, having these big name brands that's really behind Black culture and the movement. And that was an eye opener for me with the whole Doritos thing. Mm-hmm. I never knew that.
No, I didn't know Doritos had their hand in the culture like that. But you know what? In the way that they presented it, it was really authentic. You know, and they had the engineer in the podcast. Mm-hmm. And they had different fashion talks. You talked about the Fearless Fund.
Yeah, man.
I mean, they had, and then Diddy's album release, right? Like, he released the album in the middle of all of this.
Right.
And the reason why I bring that up is because those 3 days, bro, if I had to, like, just simplify it to one word, it was all love.
Yes.
And that's this man's album name.
Yeah. Yes,
so he
really.
Him and Julian put that together.
Oh, yeah, man. And shout out to our boy Julian, who really was the whole executive producer, man, of that event, though, and also to very, very good friend of mine, you know what I'm saying, that's always been about the culture and always pushing the culture forward, and also a firm believer of what Lace Rhymes is doing. So, you know, we was able to go down there, you know, as media, and, you know, just pretty much been able to, like, you know, there were seats, though, but, like, we were able to be actually up front and seeing the whole thing, you know.
We had access.
Yeah, like, really access, like, you know, seeing the artist speak. And then just even just funny, seeing the artist entourage on the side. They, like, really, like, 20, 30 niggas deep.
Bro, you ever seen a wave at, like, a basketball game yeah. or a football game? That's yeah. how motherfuckers was moving around yeah. the celebrity sometimes. And it was just wild, like, these are people. You know, and that was some of the most moving moments is when even these people on, like, high stages, whether they direct or, you know, or, like, you know, just how you and Funny Marco chopped it up, right?
Oh,
just
no, if yeah.
you, it, yes. like, the notoriety Funny. Didn't matter. Yes. It was yes. just, like, we all here, so I'm just going to assume off of GP, you here for the same reasons I'm here,
for yeah.
right? And we going to yeah. connect and figure out what's going on.
No, yeah, and then what I really loved about the whole event, man, like, you could just tell people, like, you know, all want to connect and all get to the next level. I mean, when we walked in there, by the time we got to the bridge on the first day, we walking up, there's people already walking up to us. Hey, man, what's up, bro? How you doing, man? What you do? Yada, yada. Oh, you do that? I do this. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Let's exchange information. Let's continue to tap in with each other. When I say the networking was real.
And then if they saw you the next day, they walked over and gave you a handshake. Like, it was a different type of networking vibe, bro, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell people, this right here, is the Super Bowl of networking. Straight up, man. And it's like, I went last year, but that was the summit. And then this first year, we vote world. I'm going to just tell you this right now. This become a yearly thing, brother. I'm there. I'm there. And it's like one of those events, like, you know, people put certain things on their bucket list, though, but I highly, highly recommend you to put this on your list. Whether if you're a creative or not, or if you just wanna experience. The experience alone is phenomenal,
was still a concert,
too.
Like a festival, yes. too, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, you had people, they had a stage, people out there on the grass, man, chilling, vibing. Oh, yeah, I was definitely vibing in that motherfucker the second day. Yeah, it was just super vibing. But it's just all around, it's just a phenomenal event. And even just to see a couple of days later, reading the article from Yahoo in the finance and in that marketing department, man, Diddy broke records. He broke records. 30,000? 30,000 in attendance? Jeez, bro.
Yeah, they said peak day was Saturday, I think.
Yes.
And
yeah.
it felt like it, too.
Yeah, it really did.
That was one of the heavy hitters. That yeah. was. Diddy came on Sunday.
No,
right?
He came Saturday.
He came Saturday.
Yeah, he came Saturday.
That was like his son performed.
Yeah, yeah, because he was Saturday. Jeezy was Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Drink Champs was Saturday, too, right?
No, Drink Champs was Friday.
Bro, it all yeah. felt like one day.
Yeah, yeah, it really did. It
we
really
got no
did.
Sleep. Like, we
yeah, we really
was out
did.
There working.
Working, the yeah, man. Like, you know, like, really, really working it. And that was another thing that had excited me other than the Revolt World. Like, you know, us just really working. Thursday, me and Dom get in. We get to the spot. We put our stuff down, got situated about 5 minutes, and then whoop, we was in the car. We was on our way. Did an interview with DJ Drama's head A&R, Willie Joe Drip. And, man, that was just amazing, you know, able to sit down and chop it up about this man, him telling me who he is, how he got the, you know, the gig, being Drama's A&R, making a transition from a rapper to an A&R. And then just one of the highlights is, like, you know, how he talked about how he found Jack Harlow, which is up on YouTube. Y'all go ahead and check that episode out. That episode was very, very dope. Yeah. And it was just dope, though, like, hearing how he felt Jack Harlow, man. So that was amazing. And then the night interview Saturday with Benjamin, full of energy.
Full of energy.
Great
conversation, bro. Like,
yes, yes.
That's my guy. Shout out to Benji.
Yeah, man. Shout out to our bro Ben, man. And then Sunday, man, doing the the interview with Kenya at Soul Play in the sneaker store. Right? Yeah, yeah, TJ. Yeah, the owner of the store, man. TJ, man, can't thank you more or nothing allowing us to, you know, to shoot in your store and our platform. And yeah, man, if y'all looking to buy sneakers too, holla at TJ, man. Soul Play Atlanta. Great prices and dope. He got fire heat in there. Straight up.
The great combination of great prices and great availability.
Yes, man. Ooh, that was a bar. That was a bar. No, man, but Revolt was just, oh, man, was just amazing. And
it was like a battery. You know what I'm saying? Like a battery in your back.
Yeah, man.
And that's why I was ready to come home because, you know, you plug your phone up. When right. It's at 100%, it's time to go.
Yeah.
It's time to go to yeah. work, man, and that's kind of how I'm feeling right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And will I be there next year? Yes, absolutely. Because I feel like next year is going to be on a bigger scale than what we were at.
Revolt World yeah. is like one of them must attend
yes,
events.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And we know there are always events that's throughout the year, of course, CultureCon, ComplexCon, South by Southwest, you know. And it's cool to, you know, check those events out, though. But right now, like the premier event, and I might catch some slack for this. I think Revolt World might be a little bit better than South by Southwest.
See, I ain't never been to South by Southwest.
And, yeah, man. And I'm like you. I'm being biased. I never went either. So we probably been, we probably might. Me, yeah, though, yeah, yeah.
Because I went to Revolt World, yeah. and the type of arm around my shoulder I got at Revolt World, and the leg up with some of the things that we working on, it makes sense to go back.
Oh,
yeah. And if these other places like South by Southwest, like ComplexCon, you know, shout out to all these other avenues and outlets for us mm-hmm. to network and connect right. with other people. But Revolt World was that one.
Yeah, no, you know, yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. Like I said, Revolt World is literally the Super Bowl of networking. All right, moving on. Again, this is the reason why I need to tell y'all, leave the white boy alone. Simba. I like you, bro. Like, I really, really like you. Like, your freestyles is fire, though. But you said you're claiming that you're better than Eminem, and you suggested that he just rhyme words.
Oh, my God.
Come on, bro. You can't do that. That's a no. Well, let me tell y'all what he said, man. Simba was on the panel at Revolt World, you know, of, you know, great Georgia, and the California native caused a stir, really, he caused controversy in there, when he ranked himself above Lose Yourself Hitmaker and suggests that the lyrical content is all style, no substance. I respect Eminem level as a man, he began, but as a rapper, I can name five better rappers. After acknowledging M's fire catalog, fellow panelist, Tierra Whack, and I fucks with her too, super dope MC, she outright asked him, so wait, you think you better than him? And he said, yes. He responded, after some hesitation, anybody can rhyme words, but what are you saying? Brody, I like you, though, but I got to disagree with you.
Some heavy words.
Very, very heavy words, bro.
I say to any rapper, let alone him.
Yeah, that's crazy. And not even to shoot. And you know what? Fuck it. We always do this. We always go into our little wrestling references bag. If I have to compare Eminem to any wrestler, Eminem is a fucking goat. He's Ric Flair. He's low-key Ric Flair this shit. He really Ric Flair of this rap
That's
shit.
That's an apt comparison, though. Because Ric Flair was like an alpha. He ran it for a while.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. Yeah, he ran it for a while.
That's a good one. So who would Simba be then?
Simba, I would have to say, if I had to compare him to anybody, he would have to be Razor Ramon, Scott Hall.
Okay.
Not bad. You a middle card.
Young Gun.
Yeah.
Flair,
yeah.
You know, okay. I see that.
Yeah,
see
no, that. Yeah, man. Yeah. And I get it. You want to make a name for yourself, but you can't do it against the man, like one of the head mans on the mountain.
You know, in you this day and age, he accomplished a mission, though. We talking about it.
Yeah. He did.
That's a smart play.
Nah, yeah, it really was. It really was.
He tried it though. He. It's not that.
Yeah, man. No, it's
like, you know, there's people you gotta be better than before you can say you better than him.
Yeah, exactly.
He got to out rap Cole. He got to out rap Dot. He got to out rap Jay-Z. He got to out-rap Wayne. Like, I mean, Simba is fire.
Yeah, he's fire.
He is a very, very talented artist.
Yeah, man,
about,
but
I don't know about him,
no. Yeah, no, yeah, but it's like what you said, doing that, or kind of like one of them old karate movies. He had to fight all these people just to get to the master.
Yep.
Absolutely, though. But I couldn't believe he said that. I was shocked.
Hit him with the "oh my god,"
man, bro. Like, for real, bro.
Oh my god.
Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, I'm all like, bro. Like, out of any rapper, you just had to say Eminem. And it's like, people be liking to target him, man. Like, and I'm all like, for what, bro?
And yeah, when you look at the classic, like, it's, you know, he's one of them classic artists.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, absolutely, man, though. But M has a background, man. Before making records, he was a battle rapper. And if y'all don't believe me, this is how I be telling y'all I'm a hip-hop purist, bro. Back in the day when I was B-boying, it was this event in Chicago called Scribble Jam. And, like, where people would fly out to a lot of this stuff. And, you know, it was just an outright hip-hop festival. B-boy battles, DJ battles, MC battles. Go look up Scribble Jam 96, 97, 98. You see Eminem on that stage battling.
That's dope.
Yeah. So,
you know,
yeah.
That just reminded me of 8 Mile, bro. Rest in peace to Lotto.
Man, yeah, yeah, yes, yes, man. Yeah, yeah, man. RP, man, yeah. RP, man, though. But, yeah, man, Simba, more of the story. Leave him alone.
He got too much history.
Right. No, yeah, for real. All right, next up. This one kind of, I wouldn't say rattle rap, though, but a lot of people on the West Coast was very upset about this comment. So I'm gonna play the clip for y'all, but it's coming from the OG Special Ed, and he was on Drink Champs, and he had this to say about NWA.
Wu-Tang.
Okay.
Wu-Tang is for the kids.
Wu-Tang
now,
for
you
the
know
children.
What? Besides that, man, Wu-Tang was dropping knowledge and positivity.
Right.
You know, NWA brought the age of destruction.
Damn. Jesus Christ.
NWA brought the age of destruction to our children and our culture.
Wow.
Period. Hey, I respect all of them as men.
Right.
But as the art form, and you want me to speak on the art form, I'm going to tell you what it is. That's where it started.
Wow.
That's where the agenda started, and that's where the destruction began.
Of gangster rap, you would give that to them, or was it Ice-T?
Well, Ice-T, yeah, Ice-T did that. I ain't say they started gangster rap, but what happened was when the president sent them that letter, they went ham with that shit.
Right.
Yeah, that, I ain't gonna lie. That kind of rattled me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's real like Simba-ish at this point.
It really is, bro. Like, it's like niggas.
He almost used the same verbiage. He said, "I respect them as a man, but they fucked up hip hop," and I can't get behind that. Even if I wasn't from the West Coast, like the authenticity that NWA had, the storytelling they had,
bro,
the resonance they had in their own communities, you didn't have that in hip hop before NWA.
Exactly.
If nothing else, if you say, all right, they fucked everything else up, all right, well, give away the good shit, too.
That part. And not only that, though, too, that's why, like, when he said that, I'm all like, bro, do you realize how much of an impact that NWA made? Well, when NWA actually started doing what they were doing and even just cussing on the records, that gave other rappers like, okay. We see NWA doing it, so if they can do it, we can do it. And here comes rappers from that era, like fucking Coogee Rap, Mad Dog, like a lot of y'all East Coast folks, y'all started cussing on y'all records because of NWA. Like, seriously, NWA really changed the style of rapping. Even though we had songs like, okay, like, you know, The Message. And we had Public Enemy, which was dope. And I fucks with Public Enemy. Yep. Like, straight up. Top 5 greatest hip-hop groups all time. Argue with your mama. But y'all got to understand, like, when they came out with Straight Outta Compton, they were letting you know what was going on in their neighborhood. Because you got to think around this time. There ain't no social media. There's no nothing. So the only way you could hear about another person's state or where they from It's through the music. They took you on a journey through Straight Outta Compton. Nori always said it. He was like, when he listened to that album, he said he was scared to go to California because of Compton. Like
and
really.
That's how you know he was listening to the music.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that, exactly. that I don't think he really heard, like Special Ed, when he was making that reference that they, you know, I know he drilled down to when they got the cease and desist and they had to put the parental advisory and how they were just like, they were unabashedly themselves to that shit, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But think about it for the culture, right? Like like you said, you only got to know about somebody's state of mind, environment, like wants, goals, and aspirations and accomplishments from what they were saying because we didn't have social media.
Right.
We saw the shit on TV or on movies.
That's exactly. And that was it, though. And even just like with us, like us being from Vegas, like we were able to relate to that. Cause you guys gotta think. Y'all don't understand. Y'all be always asking, how did Bloods and Crips get started, this and that. I'ma tell y'all how, like, okay, it started in California though, but when it started spreading like wildfire, I can't explain it to you though, but I know one person can. Go listen to Ice Cube's Death Certificate album, My Summer Vacation. Mm. And that gives a clearly a rundown how Bloods and Crips spread it throughout the other states like wildfire, like a fucking cancerous virus.
Community restoration in progress, brother.
Exactly. Absolutely.
But you know, we're all connected, though. Like you were saying, like when you think about, like you said, My Summer Vacation, I'm gonna do a quick road trip if I can. The West Coast is rooted to the South because a lot of the people from the West migrated from the South.
Yes.
And the same thing in the North and the East and all them other places, you know, we all just kind of spread about and, you know, neither here nor there, but we all just spread about.
Uh-huh.
We had that same similarities with the South, and that's how you notice, like, the Swisher House, the Rap-A-Lots, the, you know, the Screwed Up Click, all of them, they were doing this, you know, their version of what the West Coast was doing because they were, you know, they were screwed up. They were, you know, riding their slabs. They was players. They was...
Yeah, doing their thing, and that's why even in that time, like, around that music, when a lot of people weren't giving the West Coast respect, and when they were doing the South the same way, that's the reason why in the 90s you had so many collaborations between West Coast and Southern artists. You seen it so much because they were like, oh, New York don't like y'all? Oh, they don't like us too? Fuck it. Let's just start doing music together then, you know? And just you know, fire off back though, because let's just keep it real. I love you New Yorkers so, but y'all be very, very biased. If it ain't nobody coming out of New York, y'all not fucking with it. Y'all really not. I've met a couple of New Yorkers and, like, y'all really stand behind y'all ground and, like, that's wild to me.
They rep their borough. Yeah, they rep, man. They rep their coast.
No, yeah, that's very, very wild to me though. But back on Special Ed, man, like, you have to give NWA their flowers, bro. Cause when you say Wu-Tang is for children. Yes, but they were dropping knowledge, though, but Wu-Tang was cussing in their records, too. Without NWA, I believe none of these rappers wouldn't be cussing on their records.
I don't think Old Dirty Bastard released a song where he didn't cuss.
That part, hello. But Wu-Tang is for the kid. Wu-Tang had they fuck shit, too. Come on, now. They're not exempt.
Everybody's balanced, though, and that's the thing. Special Ed's a legend himself. He right. should
be glad. Man, yeah, Special Ed. Yeah, come on, man. You wildin' for that one.
Wildin', bro.
You definitely wildin' for that one. No, yeah, I got to give you that one, bro. I can't do it. I can't do it. All right. That concludes our part of commentary for the culture. And now we're about to get into the Can I Kick It? Ah, man, I ain't going to lie. I'm not a huge fan of these. But I know everybody is excited for these. Like, really, really excited. And I know my little brother is probably excited for these because he had this pair and he's looking to re-up. So, we finally got a release date on the Cherry Reds. Release date will be October 28th. So, originally released in 97, Air Jordan Cherry be officially making its highly anticipated retro return during holiday 2023. Worn by Michael Jordan during his fifth championship season, the fifth run, Cherry edition of the Jordan 12 arrives in the white, black, and varsity red color scheme. Texture mud guards with blends into the rubber sole, sealer upper eyelets, then the 23 with the zigzag and the black and white zigzag pattern. And it would come with the original style package, so be on the lookout for the cherry red Jordan 12s to release October 28th at Nike.com for $210. I knew, yeah. Now, my question is, I know a lot of the OGs are going to get them, though, but will they sell out? That's what I want to know. A cherry red 12. Is anybody checking for a Jordan 12, though, in this climate? Because we know the ones, they are really running the game. Despite how people feel about the ones, y'all like them. I like them. And they are. At first, when you see the colorway, you be like, nah, I don't want them. But 2 months later, you be like, you see somebody with them on, be like, fuck, okay, I want them now.
You see how it's all bust together.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I like the cherry 12s. I don't think I'm going to be copping them.
Right.
I just feel like the prices of Jordans are going through the roof.
Yes, they are.
And the quality is pretty much staying the same. Or, yeah.
That's trash, yeah, bro. Yeah, man. Like, super trash. So, no, I'm with you.
I don't think they're going to sell out.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. I think they're probably going to sit. And if they do sit, and if they go to outlet prices, okay, now we're talking.
I don't know if they're going to make it to the outlet. They're going to sit for a little bit, and a reseller going to scoop them up and make like $40 a pair.
Right. Well, yeah, but if y'all do have that Nike plug, and if they're sitting that Nike, that 40% going to come in handy. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, though. Like, it's a dope sneaker, though, but it's definitely going to have to be like a super drop for me in this per se, because I'm just looking at the climate. Like, is anybody really checking for that? Because, like, right now they're checking for ones, threes, fours. And that's really it. A seven, but it depends on the colorway. Mm-hmm. And even just like what we were talking about, we're about to see the release of the Jordan 8s. We don't know. I don't think people's check for 8s.
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
Yeah, man.
They're comfortable, but I don't think people are like putting some 8s on with some Amiri or something. They,
right.
They no, leaving yeah. them alone. You right. know, it's like the old heads like us throwing on some basketball shorts.
Right. And call it a day. Yep. No, straight up though. So, yeah. Dope shoe, but yeah, I think I'm going to have to pass on it. Definitely going to have to pass on it. All right. Next up on the list. Man, I'm actually kind of excited for this one because New Balance has been killing it lately. You know, they just came out of nowhere and just started doing their thing, man, but I love it. The concept New Balance 998s and the USA C-Note is possibly making a re-release. So the renowned partnership of Boston Concepts and the New Balance brand, the Concept 998 C-Notes might make a comeback holiday season 2023, making it the 30th anniversary of this iconic model. Initially launched back in 2013 of September, the Concepts of the New Balance and the C-Note pay homage to the $100 bill. This release coincided with New Balance's recognitions of the 998's 20th anniversary and various collaboration shops and brands throughout the year. So I think they are going to drop because they seem like we already know what's coming out for Jordan's holiday season. And we already know Puma probably might have some lined up. Adidas might have some lined up. But New Balance do this, and I feel like they are. Yeah, they going to have a run for their money because
these look comfortable.
Bro, they do. And they look, yeah, they very, very and swaggy, Concept, bro.
Make great collabs.
Yes, they do. They do. They really do, man. But it's just like just seeing the colorway on them, man. It's crazy. Like looking at it, you can see a little bit of royal blue, the little off-white on the back of the heel.
I like it. I like that they went with mostly neutral colors.
Yeah,
that was smart.
Yeah, and you can see a lot of that. Like look like the olive and look like a dark crimson pink on there. Like man, like. The shoe is amazing, and then just to pop it out with some white laces, mm-hmm. It's crazy.
And the white little N on there?
Yeah, man. Yeah, them are, boy, them is straight up fire. Like, yeah, like, I'm here for that. I'm definitely here for that, man. So, these, man, I ain't going front. That's a cop. This holiday season, That's definitely a cop.
I'm definitely checking for these, though.
Yeah, no, yeah, me too. Yeah, man. Them is fire, though. But, that conclude our Can We Kick It segment. Cherry Red 12s, New Balance Concept 998s, though. Let us know what you're checking for. You know what I'm saying? Let us know in the comments what you checking for. I'm. This is just my hypothetical guess. More of the consensus, the OGs, they're gonna say the Cherry Red 12s. I ain't mad at that though. But I hope we get some people that's out there that show love to the New Balances and 998s because those is fire.
You can't go wrong with a black, white, and red Jordan.
Yeah, you really can't. You know,
so they're gonna sell out eventually. But these New Balances, they look like they can be a great fall shoe.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm with you on that, man, though. But yeah, that concludes our Can We Kick It. All right, next up, let's get into this music. We were so busy, wasn't able to get to everything, but we definitely got to two. And I'm just going to say the two that we got to was definitely, it pretty much kind of set the tone on the ATL trip.
It did.
It really did.
It was like a welcome package.
Yeah. No, yeah, it really did, though, man. First
juvenile interpolation.
Man. Fire, yeah. And we're about to get to that. The Atlanta native, man, Nick Grant, Sunday Dinner, man. So Sunday Dinner has a complete track list of 16 tracks, 54 minutes and 40 seconds long. I'm not going to lie. This is... When we doing our yearly list, yes, this is definitely top 10. I have to say, it's definitely top 10. And even when I came back, I listened to it again. It was amazing. It was
a great body of work.
Yes.
It was a great body.
Yes, like definitely a great body of work, though. But yeah, man, let's get into it, man. The opener track, Worrying About a Classic, that was amazing. Know Your Worth. And then with the switch over with Grandma, when that beat flipped, amazing. Bravo, fucking amazing. And then right after Bravo, man, we get into Count Your Blessings. Jeez, bro, like, that was the one. Like, Count Your Blessings was, like, I had that on repeat for a minute, man. Like... Like crazy, man. I gotta play a little bit for y'all. Nothing, my daddy Harley here. Yeah, this shit hurt like if your girl fucks your partner them from where they selling pussy and choppers is bussing. My mama's sister helped raise me, let's ante up the budget. Fuck with a pigment, the cops arrest me for my color. Put your hands where I could see, but we never was busters. So as the dealers ride by, pockets on CSI, feasting on insecurities, dessert was the evil pie. Nothing but future heartbreaking pain for mama's youngest child. My world is upside down, bitch, I can see the sky, no need to lie. Bless, 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 bless. Feeling like a million even though I'm still in debt. Dirt all on my name, you gotta get that shit a rest. Feeling like a million even though I'm still in debt. Oh yeah, I'm blessed. You a paper chaser. You got your block on fire, remaining in G. Until the moment you expire, you know what it is. You making nothing out of something, you handle your biz. And don't be crying and suffering. My uncle told me don't be no hoe, bro.
Fire.
Jeez. Man, yes, I'm with you on that quest,
my
man.
Mother's sister raised me, so ante up the budget.
Man,
there are so many quotables in that one little line. Forget the pigment. Forget what pigment they he was, man. Right. I can't even think of what he said.
Right.
He
no, was, it was
he
just
had some lines.
Right. And then another line, like that was I liked that play on words. That was a bar. Putting my hands where my eyes can see, but mama ain't raised no buses. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, that was a nice play on words right there. Like it really was.
He put it together. And you know what? I can tell when it's a good album when you get all the way through it and you're like, wait, that's it?
Right. I wanted more.
All right, let me run it back. And it's like, what, 16?
Yeah, 16, man. And it's like, you know, right after that, Since Elementary, Dope Fiends Theme, All I Want 80s, Parents, Heard About Us, Catch His Fade, Two Sides, Almighty Dollar, The Sing of Ours, Art Dealer, Conceive, Heaven, and Last Jam. This album was dope, and I ain't gonna lie to you guys. Like, I covered Nick Grant before. Nick Grant is like, he's a sleeper, man. He's been doing this like when he dropped his first album and back in 2017. I was hooked, bro. Like, really, really hooked. And I be seeing him do a lot of stuff like with TDE, like Punchman producing for a couple of his tracks on like previous Fast albums. And I ain't gonna lie, I did tag the niggas. I was like, TDE, y'all need to sign Nick Grant. I know he got his own deal though, but he wouldn't be a bad look on that roster.
No, it wouldn't be. I think he signed a Virgin.
Yeah, yeah. But he always be working with them a lot and be in the studio with them a lot. That's why I'm all like, hey, go ahead and go get that joint venture with TDE.
I think he'll do well with Ravon. Like him, Ravon, and Reason on the song.
Yes.
Like that'll be heavy. And have SZA do the hook with Absol narrating it like some fucking Lawrence Fishburne type shit.
Look at you, bro. Like you talking that shit, man. Though, but this album though was just whew. This was amazing, man. If I had to rate it, literally on a scale 1 to 10, I gotta give this a 9.5. I have to.
That's pretty strong. I mean, the album was strong. I think I give it a 9. I give it a 9. I mean, the concept was. I mean, we was in Atlanta, so it felt like a Sunday dinner every day.
Right,
but,
right.
But, you know, it was different listening to this album in Atlanta.
Yes, it really was. It really was. And just seeing all the trees and stuff, man, like, it really hit different out there when we was on the road, man, like, for real.
Yeah. And our other album was an Atlanta artist too, right?
Yeah, like damn, this must have been the week of Atlanta though. But fuck it, I'm here for it. And it's none other than Dreamville and they little collab group Spillage Village with their EP RP Human Art. And before we get into the track list, so like I do gotta congratulate them. Like that was dope. Them having different designs and covers and allowing people to comment and tell them and ask which cover art that would they want for their little EP album. I was like, that was dope. There's some real ones for that. Definitely some real ones. But yeah, let's get into it. RP Human Art. 5 tracks though, 17 minutes long, 29 seconds. You get into it. The Wake, dope. Die Today, dope. Flavors of Karma was very, very super dope to me on that. Imagine was fire. And then when you get to the last track, had everybody going, and even Adam Sandler gave the co-sign, Bobby Boucher.
The video was fire.
Fire, dude. Yeah, it was.
I'm reunited with all of my vices. I can't deny it. I still got fucking problems. I try to fight it, you know. They try to hide it. Go ahead. Look, be my lady. I'm up.
Yeah, man, super far. And also too, I got a shout out to my dog. Like, he really my friend though. The one who made the beat, Latrell James. Like, super far, man. Like, from Milwaukee, man, and he's done a lot of hits for Earth Gang but just Dreamville in general, man. Underrated producer, man. You know the saying here at Lace Roms, good beats ain't cheap.
And cheap beats ain't good.
Plain and simple. And this is one of those, like, I don't know, they pray to Penny Penny, but that shit is banging.
Sound
though.
Like it though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Composition's on par.
No, yeah, no, it really is, man, though. But man, Earth Gang always be fucking, bro, they are dope though. But it goes back to my issue. I always be saying, like, with Dreamville, man, I feel like they don't get pushed enough. And it's like, I want to see them in arenas. Like, I'm getting tired of seeing you motherfuckers, like, at a House of Blues or something like that,
but,
man.
But look at the type of executive that taught J. Cole.
This is fair. This is fair. I give you that.
You know, he wasn't taught by, like, a top. Like, how K-Dot doing with Baby King. He bringing him.
Yeah.
Produce this shit. Come with me and do this and do that and do this and do that. J. Cole came up under Jay.
Yeah.
Jay just gave you access. And what you did with it is what you did
with it. Yep.
And if it was fire, I might jump on it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that.
But they
man.
Don't disappoint though. And I think that's where their niche is for me at least.
Yeah.
Because you know, Olu will step out and do some stuff with Toby. Mm-hmm. But even Toby's one of them people where he's in Transformers.
Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
totally independent but, and under yeah. the radar.
Yeah. No,
so I
yeah.
think it's room, and that's what I love about hip hop is there's room for like the super mega stars like French Montana that's a household name, but there's also room for like a Earth Gang and a Spillage Village nice. And yeah. that whole diaspora of artists themselves that put yeah, this man. Type of shit out to feed us, and they still can eat too.
Nah, yeah, absolutely, man. Because I mean, now when we look at hip hop, it's really a lane for everything. Like what I said, was it last year? Yeah, it was last year. Me and Jayani, we went to the Benny the Butcher show at the Brooklyn Bowl. Okay. Not only that was packed. We seen a crazy females in there. And I was just like, oh, you really got women out here that fuck with Griselda and Benny the Butcher. I'm all like.
I wouldn't expect it.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, whoa. Like, they fucking fucks with it. So that just lets you know, like, it's a lane for everything. It really is becoming a lane for everything, though. But I'm not going to lie. I would want to see them at a higher level. Him, J.I.D., and fucking especially Boss. I feel like Boss is like what Schoolboy Q is to TDE though, but he should be at the same level as Schoolboy Q because they started around the same time. Like really,
that's a fair argument.
I mean, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. And then of course, like the same way where they were still experimenting with J-Rock and Absol around that time too, they had Luke and Koss.
I don't think Boss is going to blow up until Afrobeats. Afrobeats is fire now. Like, yeah. it's spreading around.
Uh-huh.
But I think Boss won't blow up until that's, like, mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah. He pulled, like, you don't think about, like, the Jackie.
Yeah.
Or even the Jollof Rice shit. Like,
yeah.
all of his stuff pulls from Afrobeats.
Mm-hmm.
And he rock with them, and they rock with him. But when America really fuck with it, then I think he'll be at a Schoolboy Q.
No, yeah, exactly, because we know he about to get ready and drop, though, but this nigga now, like, you know, he's doing arenas. Hell, he's fucking the fucking spokesperson and ambassador for the Nike golf department. This nigga
Boss is?
No, not Boss. Oh. Q. Q.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Q
is making some major
moves. Yeah, with Nike and the golfing? I'm all like, that's where you should be at, bro. You should be at that level, even though Kendrick left though, but it was just all like, we know Q is right after that name. And then we started to see, okay, with J-Rock, they finally got it right with J-Rock.
I love Redemption. Yeah,
yes, fire.
I love Redemption.
Fire, and they finally got it right with him, and he skyrocketed. And I ain't gonna lie, Absol album that he dropped last year, I'm still got that in rotation. He yeah. dropped the fourth quarter though, but I still feel like that album carried into 2023, and that was a great fucking album.
Soul don't put out bad albums, but this was the one where Soul made an album that people could understand.
Yeah, yeah, yes, I'm with you on that. Absolutely,
the
where like you
going through the roof. Like that. What's her new album name? SOS.
Yes, SOS. Yes, okay. SOS. And a chick got mad at me for why I'm saying this, but it's just me telling the truth. They'd be like, oh, but she's not like that. I'm all like, bullshit. I feel like Ari Lennox should be at the same level where SZA is. That's just me. That's just me.
I mean, Ari Lennox came out first, right?
Yeah.
And SZA just kind of met Punch delivering clothes and
yeah.
blew up.
Yeah, blew up.
On some fluke shit.
Yeah, yeah.
No knock to her. Yeah, come yeah, up, yeah. She actually is super fucking talented. But
yeah.
That's crazy to get discovered delivering t-shirts.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's a fact, bro. You definitely never know, man, though. But, yeah, man, I fucks with Dreamville, though. But, yeah, I feel like they should be a little bit higher on the totem pole. That's just how I look at it, you know.
and that's respectful.
No, yeah.
What y'all think in the comments?
Yes,
like,
yes.
We broke down a gang of hip-hop as we talked through two albums, but as you know, we can go when it comes to this stuff. So we curious to see what y'all think about these two albums, but also like the whole maze that we ran through with Dreamville, TDE,
mm-hmm.
how some of these artists compare, and do we feel like they take the right space up or occupy the right seat?
Yes. No, yes, let us know. Like, for real, for real. Well, all right, all right, all right, man. We are coming into an end of the show, man. I really enjoyed this, man. You know, this was dope. This was very dope, man. You know, coming back to the home base, getting into our groove again, man, after so much work that we just did this past weekend. It was just amazing, man. Like, you know, one of the best weekends I've had in a long time. Like, you Thanks. Know, no, straight up though. But yes, I just want to just say to you guys, thank you for supporting us, Lace Rhymes. Keep on supporting. Tell a friend that tells a friend that tells another friend. And, you know, rate, subscribe, leave a comment on our YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. You name it, we on it. You name it, we on it. You name it, we on it. But Apple, SoundCloud, iHeart, Podbay, Podbean, Spotify. We all on the fucking platforms and we live. And we live and we live and we live.
Bro hit a straight freestyle. I did. We everywhere though.
Yeah, man. We are straight up, man. I love it, man. I love it though, man. But man. But until then, this is your boy Skeeter Steve.
Easy to God.
Lace Rhymes, we out.
Peace.